she was talking to an ex-boyfriend of yours.
That's correct.
A conversation kicked it off.
He's talking to her in her ear, and she's looking at me. I spoke to him, and she is staring at me.
Did the subject of Miss Williams come up?
It did.
Then they let their fists do the talking.
I'm walking out the club. All of a sudden, somebody snatches me from behind. She raises her arm, and then I, like, swung her, and I hit her, like, before she could hit me. And I fall to the ground.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 22-year-old Embercy Williams is suing her ex-boyfriend's friend, 24-year-old Robin Charles, for assaulting her at a nightclub.
Order. All rise. Yes, case number 141 on the calendar in the matter, Williams versus Charles.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Ladies, have a seat.
Miss Williams, on what date do you claim that you were assaulted by Miss Charles?
On May 28th, 2011.
Where?
At the Dream Ultra Lounge in downtown Sacramento.
Did you file a police report?
Yes, I filed an incident report.
Can I see it, please?
I don't have it. I had the request for it, though.
When did you file the police report?
On May 29th.
The next day.
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. Had you met Miss Charles before May 28th?
No, I haven't.
So you'd never seen her before?
Never seen her.
You saw her in a club, according to you, when she was talking to an ex-boyfriend of yours?
That's correct.
How long had he been an ex-boyfriend?
He's been an ex-boyfriend for a year.
Had you seen him within that year?
Yes. Like, we talk to each other. We still talk to each other, but we don't, like, no benefits or nothing like that.
So you were together for a while, and then you broke up, but then you remained friends?
Yes.
And you were still friends on May 28th?
No, we was not. We had a falling out the week prior to that.
So 1 week prior, you had a falling out about what?
I don't want to talk about it. It's like an incident that happened the week prior to that. So me and him had an argument about something and...
About what?
He had took me to Santa Rosa, and he wanted me to prostitute myself, which I wasn't about to do. So he actually left me out there, so.
So he left you stranded someplace?
Yeah.
Sounds like a charming guy.
Yeah.
And how long had he been your boyfriend?
2 years.
So when you saw him there and he had left you stranded after he wanted you to commit certain crimes at his request?
Yes.
He was talking to this young lady?
Yeah.
Now you can tell me what happened.
Okay, on the night of May 28th.
I know it was May 28th. Just now tell me what happened. You walk in, you see this person talking to Miss Charles.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was walking around. I didn't notice my ex-boyfriend until like an hour before the club ended. I seen him talking to him. We didn't say hi to each other because we wasn't on speaking terms. I just walked past him and I went outside where they give a breather where you smoke at and stuff because it was hot inside the club. And as I went back into the club, I seen him talking to her on the side. And after that, I didn't think nothing of it because I don't really care. And then as we was like when dancing and stuff, I was dancing with my friends. And then I seen her and she's looking at me. I don't know. I don't think nothing of it. So I'm just like, okay, whatever. I don't have no problems with her or nothing like that. So after that, the club ended 1:30-ish. I'm walking out the club. All of a sudden, somebody snatches me from behind by my hair and then basically pulls my hair off because it was a weave. And then she hits me and I fall to the ground. She hits me like 2 times and I fall to the ground. After that, it broke up real quick because the security guards was there. Took me outside.
So she hit you twice?
Yeah, she hit me
twice.
She
pulled you back?
Yes.
Pulled your hair and hit you twice?
Yes.
And there had been no contact?
None.
Before? No.
None.
Good. And you went home, then you went to an emergency room.
Yes.
You had a medical bill, and you had pain and suffering.
Yes.
Okay. Where did she hit you, by the way?
On my forehead, right here. This area. Forehead.
And she hit you 2 times in the forehead?
Yes.
And then you just left?
Yeah, well, they broke it up, went outside. He took...
What broke up? What do you mean they broke it up?
They carried me outside. They wanted to break it up real fast. They told us to go home because I guess they didn't want to make a big scene out of the whole thing. So they told us to go home. I wasn't driving. My friend drove me home. So I drove home, and then my sister was like, you should go to the doctor because I had a cut. And she's like, you don't know what she hit you with. It probably was her ring or something that she had on her hand that she hit me with. Mm-hmm. So I went to the hospital. They gave me a tetanus shot, checked me out, gave me some ice, gave me some Vicodin, and sent me on my way. And made a
report. Okay,
Ms.
Charles, what's the name of the boy you were talking to?
Tony.
And how do you know him?
From high school.
How many years ago was that?
I'm 24, so I don't know. 7 years, maybe. I mean, I've known him before that, though, before high school, too. But we're just longtime friends.
Is he a pimp by profession?
You know, I don't know anything about that. I don't know.
What is his profession?
He goes to school for massage therapy. That's what he wants to do. Now, I don't know about pimping and all that.
Does he go to school or does he want to go to school?
He is in school now.
Where?
Sacramento.
And he's about your age?
Yes.
Now, not that I'm admitting this into evidence for the truth of it, but when you were talking to Tony, did the subject of Ms. Williams come up?
It did. Well, I brought it up because when he came into the club, I spoke to him, you know, we said hi, caught up, and she is staring at me. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, why, who is that? I don't even know who she is.
So you asked Tony who she was? What did Tony tell you?
He just said, oh, she's an old friend. They used to talk or whatever, and that was it.
They used to talk?
Yeah. He never said that they were like boyfriend, girlfriend.
What happened next?
We're talking, and then I asked who she was. He told me whatever. He told me all that.
We got past that already.
Okay. I walk away, start dancing, having a good time again, and then me and him cooked up again in the club. Spoke again. She's pointing and staring again. And then I'm like, okay, now I think it's a problem. So I asked him, like, can you go talk to her? Go see, like, is there a problem? What's going on? Is she mad? Like, what happened? Like, did you guys, what's going on? I'm confused. So he said, you know, I'm not gonna, what'd he say? I don't know. He said something like, I don't want to talk to her, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he walks away, and then I think they end up talking. I don't know if they got into an argument, though. I don't know what the conversation was. And then I think, like, she hit him, like, why are you talking to her? Like, something like that. And then...
And then what?
Then we're in the club, so it's just like, okay. And then he walks up to me. He tells me, we're talking again. And then she's pointing and staring all over again. I'm dancing.
Get to the end.
The end is I'm walking out the club, and... She comes and, like, bumps into me, like, really, really hard to where I felt like I almost fell. So I'm falling, and then she raises her arm, and then when she raises her arm, I, like, swung on her and I hit her, like, before she could hit me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
You're not very good at this.
Your knowledge of extension cords is fascinating.
Oh. Well, I mean, is it almost correct?
It's
I may
good.
Not have the vernacular down.
You're path. Doing good.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Amber C. Williams says her ex-boyfriend's friend, Robin Charles, attacked her during a night at the club. Robin claims it was Amber C. who made the first move.
Okay. Can I see your medical bill, please?
Yes, you can. And y'all, none of that is true. He never spoke to me. I never went up to him.
Can I see the medical bill, please?
Yes, never to that club.
You were mad, basically. Can I say one more thing, please, Judge?
Yes.
The police were in the club, and I don't understand if it was such a big deal, like, why didn't they, I didn't go to jail, nothing. And why was she making a police report the next day? Like, they were right there outside the club. Like, and they stayed there the whole night. Security guard, no one broke it up. It was nothing like that. Like, she came, bumped into me, so I felt like I had to defend myself, and the police were there, so I don't get...
What do you do?
I'm a cosmetologist. I do hair.
You're not supposed to hit anybody.
I understand.
You're not supposed to hit anybody.
She's gonna hit me first, and I...
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You're not supposed to hit anybody.
She pushed me. She made contact with me. She pushed me.
I don't believe that.
She did.
You're gonna pay a medical bill. $1,135.50. Not supposed to hit anybody.
She pushed me, Jesse.
I just excuse. You may step out.
She bumped me, and then I just grabbed her, and you know, did what I had to do.
I was walking in front of her, so she was behind me, so there was no way I could have bumped into her. I was already in front of her already.
Just a little messy, childish, stupid little stuff.
She pulled my hair, didn't hit me.
I just pulled it out and kept it pushing.
She just snatched it off. Like, I think it was, like, pretty creepy.
No one broke it up. I just left her, and I walked away.
I didn't cause any trouble. My theory is he caused the trouble.
A lot of jealousy.
Jealous of what?
Over a boy that don't want her.
Her old story was a bunch of crap.
Learning experience, yes.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Williams versus Knofsinger. Step forward, please.
Lisa Williams is suing Nicholas Knofsinger for fire damage to an apartment she sublet to him.
Miss Williams, you sublet your apartment to the defendant.
Uh-huh.
7 months. During the time of his sublet, there was an electrical fire in the apartment.
Yes.
I assume there is some evidence that this fire was not purposely set. As a matter of fact, Mr. Knofsinger says he wasn't even at home when the fire started. It was an electrical fire that sparked under a rug. And there was some damage, evidently, to the apartment. Mr. Knofsinger did not give you a security deposit, I assume. And the landlord sent you a bill for the damage to the apartment caused by the electrical fire. You want him to pay that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can I see your original lease?
Yes.
While I'm looking this over, Mr. Nofsinger, because I'm trying to be efficient and double task, will you please tell me when you started this lease, when it was over, and when the fire took place?
Yes, Your Honor. The lease began in March of 2010. It ended at the end of September, and the apartment fire occurred in the first week of July.
Where were you when the fire happened?
I was at work when the fire started.
Anybody have a fire marshal's report as to where it started? I'd like to take a look at that bird. Did you rent the apartment furnished or unfurnished, Mr. Nofsinger?
Unfurnished, Your Honor.
And you know the electrical cords that this report refers to as being the cause of the fire?
Yes.
What were they?
There was a extension cord plugged into the wall, a lamp that was actually hers, was the only piece of furniture or anything that she had left in the apartment, and my couches, which are motorized, were also plugged into the electrical cord. So it was just those wires.
Okay. So the fire damage was caused by too much juice going into the, what is it, the connecting cord, the extension cord.
No, Your Honor.
Well, what was it caused by, sir? That's what this says. It was caused by electrical cords.
There was only one of the motors of the couch plugged into the extension cord.
Right.
It was just to gain a few feet for...
No, I understand that, but that's what caused the fire.
Somewhere in those wires is where the fire did start.
Somewhere in the wires that you put in the apartment?
Yes.
Either in the extension cord or in the cord from your sofa?
Yes.
But they were as a result of your wiring?
Yes, Your Honor.
That's all I want to know. That's as a result of you put those in. It wasn't things that the plaintiff had there that you moved in with. You bought an extension cord. Who knows whether you bought the right extension cord, the wrong extension cord, I don't know. But they were your extension cords that caused the fire.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, good. So now you'll explain to me, sir, let us agree for the moment that they took part of her security, $600 worth of her security that she had in the apartment. You've now vacated the apartment. There's no question that it's cleaned. You cleaned the apartment. You left it in an orderly fashion. The only thing was that there was certain damage caused to the floors of the apartment by the electrical fire. The electrical fire caused by your plugs.
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Now, not an intentional act. Now you're going to explain to me, sir, why it's not your responsibility, but her responsibility.
I believe that it is not my responsibility because I didn't intentionally set a fire.
No, you did absolutely did not. It was as a result of perhaps negligence, perhaps using the use of the wrong kind of extension cord. Perhaps you used a little extension cord as opposed to one that has lots of juice. I mean, I see my husband loves extension cords. You know, he gets the biggest ones that he can possibly get, these big things that go on the floor. You know, I think it's a man thing, actually. You know, ladies like to hide the extension cords. Men like to see these huge things, even if you're just plugging in one or two outlets in it. You know, they either are on the floor, they go on the wall, they take up half the wall, and then you put extension cords coming out from that. But sometimes you get ones that have three prongs, and some of them are heavy duty, and some of them, you know, a little thin ones. I don't know. I don't think you intentionally caused the fire. There's one thing we know for sure. She didn't.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You were looking for an apartment. I assume you weren't trolling Craigslist for an apartment because you were looking to burglarize it. I assume you were trolling Craigslist because you needed a place to live.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Lisa Williams says, Nicholas Nofsinger owes for fire damage to an apartment she was subletting to him.
Now, she wasn't living there. She didn't buy the extension cord. She didn't make certain that it was the right gauge or strength of an extension cord. I'm really not very good at this.
Your knowledge of extension cords is fascinating. Oh.
Well, I mean, is it almost correct?
It's
I
mean, good.
I
no, you're
vernacular
good.
Down
you're
pat.
Doing good.
But do you understand? So nobody's suggesting you intentionally did it. Or even did it without any thought when you purchased these things. But clearly, something was wrong with them. So somebody's got to be out money. It's either the plaintiff or you. And you have to convince me in 30 seconds or less why it should be somebody that wasn't living in the apartment and that didn't buy the extension cord.
Because she's the one that signed the lease with the apartment, which leaves her responsible for damages. The sublease that I signed with her, didn't mention anything about damages. I was helping her out when she moved out of the apartment to take care of the lease,
she weren't
to fulfill her lease.
I mean, this is not an altruistic thing, sir. Unless you knew her, were you related to each other?
No, Your Honor.
You found her on the internet?
Yes.
Found her on Craigslist?
Yes.
On the internet. So, I mean, it wasn't you were helping her out. You were looking for an apartment. I assume you weren't trolling Craigslist for an apartment because you were looking to burglarize it. I assume you were trolling Craigslist looking for an apartment because you needed a place to live.
Yes, it was beneficial. It was a mutual benefit.
Are you impressed with that?
Impeccable.
Huh?
Impeccable. I love it.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, you weren't helping her out. You needed a place to live. She needed somebody to sublet her apartment to. It was a perfect marriage of sorts. It was lovely. And she is absolutely, the landlord had her money.
Yes.
Let me ask you this question, sir. We can agree, because you look like a nice enough young man, and I don't want you to feel as if you've been given short shrift today. Let's assume she is responsible for any negligent acts or purposeful acts of her lessees, sublessees, friends, etc. And let's say one of her friends, she's having a party, and one of her friends comes to the house with a little kid that she's not watching, and the little kid takes a bunch of magic markers, permanent magic markers, and writes all over the kitchen granite and the walls, and you can't get it out. It's in there. Yeah. There's no question that she is responsible to the landlord for that.
Yes.
Right? Do you think that she has would have the right to turn around and sue the parents of that child for failing to watch them? Or if the parent did it, you know, took magic markers and just got a little loaded and started writing in the house, you think she would have the right to sue them?
I do not, Your Honor.
Well, you're wrong.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Okay, now, she is liable to the landlord. And the question is, irrespective of the fact that you did not have a writing that reflected that you were responsible for your own damage, the law says that logically you would be responsible for damages that you caused the apartment. If you lost your temper and put your fist through a door, you think she would be responsible? I mean, under your logic.
I believe without renter's insurance, I think that in this case, the only thing that would have helped it would have been renter's insurance.
Now, I didn't ask you about this case. I just asked you a question. I said you got mad at your girlfriend. You had a fight with her on the phone. You got off the phone and you proceeded to punch two holes in a door. Landlord takes her security deposit. You say, listen, my lease doesn't say anything about damage that I caused to the apartment. That's not my problem. It's her problem. So I'm asking you, under the scenario I just gave you, punching two holes in the door.
Yes.
Who would be responsible to fix the door?
I think it would be my responsibility in that case because it would be intentional.
Right. So the question then becomes, is it because it's intentional or negligent? And there is no difference. Whether it's your intentional act or your negligent act, one of you has to be out the $600. And I think the law suggests that that would be you. Because it's your negligence, just as if it would be your intentional act. She wasn't there. You were the person who was in charge of keeping that premises safe and secure and free from damage during the term of your sublet. That's all. And they charged you $600. They took $600 from your security deposit, a figure that the defendant does not deny. So I'm entering a judgment on behalf of the plaintiff in the amount of $600. Thank you very much. You did very well.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Fire was not intentional.
I'm happy with what happened. I feel bad in a sense, but it really wasn't my responsibility.
I didn't sign anything that I was responsible for any damages.
I told him to get renter's insurance.
I think the only thing that would have helped this entire problem would have been if the plaintiff would have had renter's insurance.
I did have renter's insurance, but I had canceled it when it wasn't my responsibility anymore.
I think if my property was damaged, then yeah, that would be my problem.
There's no need to be paying on something that I'm not living in anymore.
I didn't leave the oven on or do anything irresponsible in this case.
He told me he was going to carpet the apartment himself since it would be cheaper. So I don't think he was necessarily avoiding it.
I was at work bartending and I got a phone call from a neighbor that lived across the hall and called and said that there were three three fire trucks and all this stuff that's happened.
Police called me in July and told me what had happened.
It wasn't a very big fire, it was just small.
Apparently, don't sublease your apartment.
I'm glad it's put to rest. No hard feelings.